We are talking relationships, and we're talking online relationships, David. So yesterday, Facebook went down for a couple of hours. So did Instagram and WhatsApp, I believe. I didn't actually notice any of it, I'm sorry to say. Did relationships plummet during that time, do you think?
You know, it's absolutely fascinating because I don't think people realize how addicted and how reliant they are on their cell phones and looking at Facebook or on Instagram or WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was driving in today and I listened to Zanatti's terror at not being able to post the picture of her in her outfit.
No, but I want to come to Zanatti's defense on that.
Zanatti's agreeing.
But I don't agree, and I'll tell you why, Zanatti. Yeah. I'm going to come to your defense on this one. Is because she was there partly at a work function. Uh-huh. And what you have to do in this world, in this environment, in a work function, is you've got to get your stuff out there. You're promoting a movie, you're promoting what you're doing, and that's all part of that image. So I think we have to try and distinguish what is almost work and what is not. And I've noticed that I spend a lot of time on social media, but a lot of what I'm doing is I'm doing because of what I do. So we do have to distinguish between the two. It becomes hard. Yes. In the world that we live in, Zanatti and I perhaps live in, it's very, very enmeshed.
Absolutely. But I think the same thing applies is that when you don't have your phone and you're not able to put yourself out there, whether it's for work or whether it's for social, reasons.
Oh, I'm completely hysterical.
We get into an absolute state. You know, it's amazing. You know, we spoke about this last week. If you get blue ticked, you know, someone's read your message but hasn't replied. And it puts huge amounts of pressure on people because
It's become a weapon. My daughter once said that to me, you know. So I said, how did you respond? And she said, I just blue ticked that.
Yeah. It's a.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah. That's like turning your back.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it causes so much stress these days. I mean, again, the amount of time that it takes for you to return a message often is evaluated according to how valuable the person feels they are. So if I send you a message and you haven't replied within a certain period of time, I'm starting to feel like, you've read it.
Is that why you sent me that question mark yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, Howard.
Sorry, David.
It's okay.
My apologies. I really did have a very busy day yesterday and I kept meaning to come back to you.
I have therapy today. It's fine.
I apologize publicly for blue ticking you yesterday. It really wasn't intentional.
That's the thing. That's exactly
But it really
the thing.
Wasn't intentional. I'm in a meeting and I pick up a thing and I thought, oh, yes, David's asked me this question. I'll come back to him, put my phone down and carry on. And then later, I forget to do that, and then, but what are you feeling on your side is, you know, I've sent him a message, he's read the message, and the guy can't even be bothered to come back to me.
And that's the point, is that there is...
And none of that was true.
Right. And
right.
Because we... Oh,
well, no. You sent me the message, I read the message, that's true.
Sure.
But the emotional, I'm not saying you were fit for that, but I'm saying...
Well, let's link it to last week when we were talking about projection.
Okay.
Because... again, depending on how I'm feeling, depending on my frame of mind, if I'm quite relaxed, feeling quite secure, good about myself, you know, on that particular day, or that's generally how I feel about myself, that's not really going to bother me that much, you know, because my imagination or my projection will go to a good place, you know, because that's how I'm feeling. How is busy? How is in the meeting?
So you've got the adult voice in you says, you know what, this makes sense.
Yeah, that people have lives and people read things and get distracted.
Right.
But again, very much about how you are perceiving things. And if you are feeling a bit insecure in a relationship and that person hasn't replied, you can or didn't put an emoji heart or didn't put a... You know, you read into that, you know, what is there something wrong? Am I not that important? So I do think for me that, you know, it allows so much more room for projection when we communicate and we spend a lot of time communicating online rather than speaking to each other or face to face. It does lead to a lot of interpretation or projection.
And that's no different in truth to the real world. I was doing some business mentoring yesterday and I was sitting with this person and what we were doing is going through various incidents that had happened in the workplace. And what was so clear to me is that exactly that happened. So he was talking on thing and somebody reacted in a, somebody said something and this guy had taken what was said to a point that was very, very, well, we'll never know what was meant by it, but it was actually a fairly innocent statement. But because of their own stuff, they interpreted all sorts of things. They gave it a life that we don't know that it did or didn't have. And what I was trying to do to say to this guy is, let's look at actually what was. You don't know beyond that.
Absolutely. And that's the difficulty with interacting and having intimate, even, work relationships. Online, or through you know communication through things like WhatsApp or SMS, because we lose so much in that interaction.
Well, because we've lost the body language.
We've lost the body.
So we're trying to introduce tone through emojis, I guess.
Right.
Because it's tone language. It's tone, content, and body language.
Spot on. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So we leave so much open to interpretation. So it starts with, as we're saying, with time. How long does it take for this person to respond? Equals the shorter, the more value, and then also interpreting exactly what they say, and we have so much less to go on, as we're saying. So I think for me, it does lead to difficulty, and also then, we were talking about Zanati when it's down, when we cannot communicate, maybe there's no signal, maybe there's a problem with the network. Then what do we do and how do we interpret that? It's amazing how I find, people coming into a therapeutic environment, which is, probably an hour of their week, where it would be completely appropriate, unless barring an emergency, really would want to use that space as a time just to cut off from the rest of the world, just to focus on themselves. And definitely,
no, they don't.
I've noticed how people, and my colleagues have noticed, how it's so difficult for
people
to...
Can you make it a rule? And what would happen if you did? And if you said, look, you please, your phone goes on silent, in your pocket or in your handbag, I don't want to see it.
Well, absolutely. Some therapists do make it a rule, and it also kind of varies from person to person, depending on their work and but it can be interpreted these days, that you have got no time for yourself, the dependency on the phone, actually to some degrees an addiction. I challenge our listeners to do an experiment, leave your phone at home for a morning and see the anxiety that
I can actually feel. The anxiety I can actually feel it building physically.
Even me.
In me. Do you feel that as well?
In the morning you are
I'm just thinking I actually can feel physical anxiety when you say something like
because,
that
because and it's not by chance. Facebook employ psychologists and social behaviorists and so does Instagram. They want us to be addicted to their product, and they do a very, very good job about it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with online dating, which is another whole discussion.
I want to get onto that. I do want to talk about that.
Howard, how many online dating sites do you think there are roughly? I mean, I was very surprised to hear.
It's an area that I'm so not knowledgeable about because, we got married 28 years ago.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah,
but
how many do you
1,500 sites. And next year.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. Ginger Mayer says, best website for singles in Israel is Shlish Gan Eden. So I just looked it up to see if it was real, because otherwise I didn't want to announce that it is Shlish Gan Eden, religious and traditional Jewish dating, largest Jewish dating site for the religious community. I've never heard of that. Amazing.
I know there's so many sites now.
Right.
But what astonished me is that they say that in the USA next year it's going to be, well, this year actually, 2018, it's going to be a $3 billion industry. So, it's not going away, and certainly just like technology is very much part of our lives. So it's not really about debating whether it's going to exist or doesn't exist.
No, it's a reality. It was interesting. I read Aziz Ansari's book. He's a comedian, an Indian comedian living in the United States. And, he writes this whole book on sort of dating in this modern world. And, the way in which he describes it is quite interesting. And he says that, traditionally, certainly within his own sort of Indian background but he extends it actually to the United States. And I think he's right, is you would your social networks were very, very contained. So you would know somebody, you'd live in buildings, let's say in Brooklyn or New York, wherever you were, in New York, wherever you were living, and you'd know neighbors, and you'd know people from one or two buildings down, and you'd meet people at school, and those, that was the network that you, could draw from. And people often married within those, within the, that context. And of course, then as people started maybe going away to university and they started traveling more overseas, so it got wider. And then all of a sudden, as wide as it was, it exploded through social media, through dating sites. And what he was saying was so interesting, and it's a line that I've never forgotten. I read the book a number of years ago, and he said, you know, what's so interesting is the power that it gives you to the sort of swipe left and swipe right. I'm not sure which is which, but he says, you know, if you were a pretty nerdy, ordinary guy, and you'd go and sit in a bar, and you're having a drink, and this beautiful woman came up to you and started speaking to you, you wouldn't believe your luck, how unbelievably lucky you were. But now that same nerdy guy is sitting in his miserable apartment, and he's swiping left because that beautiful blonde actually doesn't support the same American football team that he does. So the whole thing has just become odd.
Well, you're making such good points, because I think, like everything, there's pros and cons.
Mm.
And one of the pros definitely are that it expands your network. You know, you're now able to put down your interests, your likes, and able to find people who you don't or normally would interact with at all, who don't live in your area, maybe even in your country. So that absolutely is a positive, where you're able to expand your social network and then have more of a choice, more variety. But again, a double-edged sword, because there is difficulty with having too much choice for many people.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
Because then we have a situation where we are, you know, because there's so many people.
I think
you're
suddenly sent into an illusion of choice. Actually,
it completely is. And again, that, you know, we talk about the pros and the cons. And online dating, you know, a large percentage of people don't actually, to their full degree, actually tell the truth. You know, even if it's small things like how tall they are.
But the other problem is that in the environment that we're living in, unfortunately, it's also used as a and I'll use it euphemistically, as hookup sites rather than it is sites to further real, sustainable, valuable relationships.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and I think like all products, they can be abused.
Mm.
And I think that's the key, is that so many people are using online sites, but there definitely are, I think, guidelines to follow. To as much as possible ensure that you are meeting people, you're safe, and that you don't kind of put yourself in compromised positions.
Mm, so to speak. Time is 8:25. I'm Howard Feldman. We're chatting to David Abramson. He's a psychologist in private practice. We are talking about the change in the world as we've moved to online environments, online dating sites, online communication, online relationships, and how we manage that. What do we teach our children, I guess, and how we establish what is real and what is not. It's 8:26. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love your thoughts on these subjects. 34519 or 0618951019. It is Throwback Thursday, Google, and they can send us, what, like 45 messages per hour, just to let us know something that we really have no interest in knowing. But they insist on using that as a technique either to inform or just nag.
Yeah,
are we bad parents if we blue tick our children?
I think not.
Oh,
well, good. Actually,
and that's a professional opinion,
yes,
eh?
Yes. Well, let me clarify. I mean,
right. According to, we're going to leave it there. David Abramson, psychologist in private practice, says we should be blue ticking our children. It teaches resilience, doesn't it, David?
It does, Howard.
Mm.
It does.
Mm.
There are certain exceptions, like
right.
Mom and Dad.
Right. Like, I've been stung by a bee and I can't breathe.
Right.
Don't blue tick them.
That wouldn't
right.
be a
no,
good
that's
idea.
Not a good time, right?
Maybe,
what else?
Yes. Like anything, like a serious medical problem.
Okay.
Would be an issue.
Well, they shouldn't be WhatsApping. That should be phoning.
Right. 100%. Dad, can I go visit my friend this weekend?
Right.
Can
yeah,
we go?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can't bear that.
It's
Tuesday. Oh, Dad, forgot to tell you that I might go with my friends to a movie Sunday afternoon. Or okay. No, I don't care. Yeah. I won't even care on Sunday morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
So like, the bottom line is that I think it's such a good point you're making, Howard, because I know we're talking about online dating, and we're certainly not talking about the appropriateness of children.
Yes.
Going online.
Fair comment.
But, you know, and going on online dating sites, but children use it extensively to talk to their friends, to network. And I think it's so important that we teach our children from an early age about these things. If someone has blue ticked you, doesn't necessarily mean that
they don't love you.
They don't love you, or you're not important.
Okay, but I just want to be clear. It might mean that.
Okay, yes.
Howard,
I'm saying it might mean that. It doesn't mean that it does, but it might.
But check it out in real life.
There's the answer.
So the bottom line is, and I think with everything, when we're talking about online dating, when we're talking about Facebook, when we're talking about Instagram, when in doubt, pick up the phone and speak to the person. When in doubt, organize to meet them and see them face to face, because we lose so much. And I think technology today, we lose so much of our senses. Like today, no one needs to know how to park. Everyone just waits for the car to beep.
Okay, but it's not a bad thing.
GPS, we don't need to know directions anymore. Mm. But yeah, maybe not a bad thing, but when it comes to social...
I mean, didn't they say that about the calculator? I remember my grandfather saying, my late grandfather saying, oh, I can't understand why people need calculators.
Absolutely.
You know, in my day, we would work out, and he could, he had a brilliant mind, and he could work out his numbers in a second while we would sit there with a calculator. But okay.
But we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I think for me, we still want to have that human interaction, because we get, there is something lost, a huge amount lost. And leave so much more for interpretation when we just rely on words.
Don't
and
we
emojis.
Need to? Don't we need to quantify that? Isn't the answer to say that David, you and I sitting and looking at each other, making eye contact, mirroring each other's, you know, what that does to our brain, to our feeling, versus having the same conversation on a WhatsApp conversation?
I think.
How do we quantify what that is? Maybe that's the book that you have to write.
With you. I think it's because...
All right, fair enough.
Because you are the body language person.
Yeah, well, that's according to Russia Today. Not everybody agrees. My kids certainly don't.
Russia's a big country.
It's true.
Howard, we lose so much. And I think we do. And, you know, so absolutely...
Unsigned, I'm sorry. Says, as far as I always understood, my aunt invented a pock by sound way before the beep.
Crunch.
All right. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
That's unsigned, by the way.
Right.
I would hate to have to read out that name.
Yes. But it's not his mother-in-law. It's just,
exactly. That
but
is
I think,
true.
I think, yeah, absolutely, I think we need to keep it in perspective. You know, do we really need to understand or have this quantity of distance in our minds to pop? Do we really, really need, to know directions? So we just put on the GPS. But I think, again, if we take it a little bit too far, as far as...
Yes, do we need relationships?
Do we need relationships?
Yeah,
do we need to meet
Very
people
good point.
Online? Do we need to just... Do we need to... or is it obsolete to actually sit with someone and look at them in the eye? We misinterpret so much, and as a body language expert, you'll know that it's very much about the nuances. And we can't see that when we are online. So, again, if there's confusion, when in doubt, phone the person, because then we're picking up something more. Tone, we've got...
A little bit more than you were.
And even more so, meet with the person.
What happens if you phone them? They're blue tick to you, phone them, and they don't
answer. Answer your phone.
So, Nati?
I've actually done that.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Like, I don't answer your phone, and I see that you've... WhatsApp me and I blue ticked you. Sometimes, guys, you're busy.
Yeah.
It's not even a bad thing.
Well, that's the point. That is when we impose our own stuff, because we just don't know better. So we take all of our baggage and we bring it right into that little interaction. And the other person who might not have the baggage in that way looks at you as though you're completely nuts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and again, messages like, please call me, you know, or as soon as possible. You know?
Oh, look, to me, I've got a trigger word.
Right.
Urgent.
Yeah.
When somebody says to me, please call me urgently, and I know that I'm with my wife and my kids, and I know where my family is, and you know, I know that my father's okay, don't tell me it's urgent. Yeah. I got a message to call somebody urgently from overseas. And I thought, I don't even know you.
What?
You don't know my family. It cannot be urgent.
Right. And again,
I specifically didn't call them.
And we read into
No, I didn't. Absolutely not. I won't be. I will not call somebody if they tell me it's urgent and it's not urgent. It drives me dilly.
Well, absolutely. The anxiety that it creates.
Absolutely.
Is huge. Because again, immediately if something's urgent or please call me as soon as you can.
Yeah.
You know,
your anxiety levels go through the roof. And especially we are living in an age where things happen. Horrible things happen.
So I think again, very important, you know, when, to let the people in your life, your wife, your partner, your children, to say everything's okay. And that's a good way to start a communication. Because again, there's so much room for interpretation.
I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Unsigned said, so often people are upset because they didn't get a reply from an email. I remind them that the email is like putting a letter on top of a huge pile. And I ask why the person doesn't pick up the phone and just speak to them.
True.
Which is exactly the point, isn't it?
Absolutely. And there's so much pressure. And I think this speaks a lot to the stress and anxiety, that we see in society today, that we feel so much pressure to return calls, to keep up with our emails, and maybe to a lesser degree, to be on our Facebook sites, and just to keep up. And it's a maddening pace. And so,
and relationships have been redefined as well, because whereas in the past it might have been that, you know, you're at work and maybe you'll speak to somebody once during the day, and then, you know, if you're in a relationship, and then you'll phone them at night or go out at night. You know, today, there is an expectation that there's this constant connection and touch points, and I'm definitely guilty of that type of thing as well. But there is this constant expectation and need just to touch, just to connect,
I feel like it's heightened people's neediness and insecurities
I think David, what do you answer to that?
Absolutely, absolutely. That we feel like we need to, you know, again, is that person thinking of me? Is that person?
Yeah.
And again, you know, when we talk about setting boundaries
to them,
setting boundaries and limits, you know, some people are very good with that, to say like, I switch off my phone at 10 o'clock or at night or 9 o'clock and I don't look at it until 6. And people know. A very good example, and I think is absolutely fantastic. And I always talk about, how in Judaism we
live. It sounds antisocial to me. No. And maybe even a bit problematic. I don't know. What do you think, then, Matthew?
Howard, I'm talking about Shabbos.
I was about
to talk about Shabbos.
Shabbos is great.
And Yontif, how people know, you know what, you cannot phone Howard. Howard is unavailable from Friday.
And I tell you that it's an incredible thing is, and I found this last week, Shabbat particularly, I found that because my week was so intense and I do so much on social media and in media and in talks and I'm connecting all the time, I needed so desperately silence in my own head. And I think that I was quite antisocial over the 25 hours. I read 2 books, but I needed my brain to actually just breathe. And, I'm finding that more and more, the more active and the more frenetic we get on a personal level, that I need that quiet head time. Otherwise, you know, I fear for what I could feel.
No, absolutely. And I always say this, that too much information is not healthy. You know, again, to have a healthy amount of information about the world, about our social circles, okay. But too much information.
But how do we know that? How do we measure that? Because, you know, everybody's now accessible. So now we're talking to our kids all the time, and our spouses or our partners and our friends and our family and our parents, but everybody's touching base. Everybody's doing this. So by the time you get to that end of the day, especially someone like me who enjoys that, it actually becomes unbelievably taxing.
Well, we need to look for those signs. You know, firstly, those physical signs where you're tired, you're irritable.
I never said irritable. Why did you say irritable? So Matthew, why did you say I was irritable?
I don't know. I have no clue.
I didn't say I was irritable. Not once. I did not use the word irritable. Not even once. Wow, David.
Sorry.
Talk about a judgment, eh? Jeez. Do you think that's projections, Anati?
I think so. I was about to say.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry, you were saying that.
Yeah, I was.
I can't remember where you were.
Oh, sorry, I was just saying about irritability.
Right, yes. Snappiness, maybe.
Snappiness, absolutely, yeah. So again, looking at your own behavior, seeing if you, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed by that cell phone interaction, and also the dependency on it. Mm. I need to have it. And if I don't have it, then that feeling of panic.
Being out of control.
Out of control. And again, I think for me, that's why, again, Yiddishkeit actually gives us so many gems. Like, you know, because again, it's about, like I said, setting boundaries and expectations. We know someone is, you know, keep Shabbos, keep Yontif. They are not available, and we know that they're not blue ticking us, and they know that they're not ignoring us. It is a time of rest. And I think, you know, in America these days, they have these special camps, you know, to detoxify yourself, to, you know, where you're not allowed to be on your cell phone and, you know.
I don't think you need detox camps.
How?
That just irritates me. Now you are making me irritable.
You see.
The detox camp. It's so American. Why can't we just educate ourselves instead of going on a camp? It's a detox camp. So why do we have to Americanize it?
We don't. We call it Shabbos and Yontif.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, so, I like that.
It's Natty. I think we're hitting
right. There's no projection here. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Anonymous says, I bumped into a friend of my relative who I have met before in a shopping center with in a coffee shop. She appeared to have time. We're similar ages, but very different. She said to me, how's this? Ask your relative for my number and maybe we can have a cup of coffee. You either want to have coffee with me or you don't, sweetie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. What? Ask your relative for my number?
Yeah.
Why did you just give out the number?
I don't know. I'll tell you why. Because people are inherently insecure. So she didn't want to say, here's my number, let's have a coffee. She didn't have the confidence to say it.
Really?
So she wants to know. She wants the affirmation for this person to say, you know, get my number if you want to have a coffee with me. Mm. Anonymous, it is exactly the opposite way around. You're reading it differently. Sorry, David.
What would that mean, reading it the opposite way around?
The opposite way is it's not that they being arrogant and saying, maybe I'll decide if I want to have a coffee with you. They're just they're feeling insecure.
Exactly.
So understand that they do want to have a coffee with you. Otherwise, they wouldn't have mentioned it. But they're just allowing sort of an out in case maybe you don't want to have a coffee with them.
And they want to see if that person really wants to have a coffee, that they'll actually go through the effort.
100%. Time is 8:53. People are complicated. We're going to take some music when we come back. We're going to wrap this conversation up. I'm Howard Feldman. I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 061-895. I don't believe it's about being diplomatic. It's about, you know, it's something I try when I work with people. I think one of the most important things that I try and get people to see, there are two things effectively. Is one is be the adult, not the child. You bring your adult to that conversation and to incidents, because when you bring your child, you are relying on those very, very basic emotions. If you can be the adult in an environment, then you can see things much clearer, number one. And point number two, have a look at what is not being said. Listen to what is not being said, not what is being said. David, would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. In psychology, we learn about this inner child, and I always used to bat my eyelids, you know, this inner child.
I think it's more and more relevant. The more I study people and the more I study situations.
Well, the way I understand it is that, you know, we are socialized in a certain way. We learn to relate when we're young. Mm-hmm. We learn to relate through our interaction with our caregivers, you know, mom and dad, our parents. And sometimes they're mostly positive, but they can be negative as well. And we take that inner, you know, I suppose the inner child, that inner learned way of reacting to people in the world into our adult life. And it's amazing. And that's actually often the central part of therapy, where we start, as you're saying, to identify how we have learned to react and what our impulsive reactions are, what our unconscious reactions are, and really make them more conscious and, you know, to use your words, make them more adult-like. So absolutely. And I think, though, Howard, to your credit, I think it is difficult, you know, I think to read what is being unsaid a lot of the time, you know, and I think it does take a lot of work, at no, times to learn.
Of course, the work is tremendous. The work that needs to be done is unbelievable. But just closing the circle completely, bringing that back to social media, that's exactly what we need to do, isn't it? We need to bring our adult selves to any interaction. So somebody blue ticks you, it doesn't mean what the insecure child might think it means.
Absolutely, right. And I think the point is also, we all want to. If we're talking about parents, we want to educate our children. We send them to schools, the best school possible. We pay huge school fees to educate them and prepare them for the future. But I think it's so important that we prepare our children. And this is one of the things that I think is vital, is that we start to talk to them about, the meaning behind blue ticking, the meaning behind social interactions, the appropriateness of online dating, what to be careful of, because this is a reality. But I think the most important thing as adults is that we need to be responsible and set the example, which is often very hard for us. So absolutely, it's about being an adult for our children and being an adult for ourselves when we are online.
Absolutely right. That's where we love and leave it. It is 9 o'clock. David Abramson, thank you as always for your incredible insight. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place, 6 a.m.